The ancient Egyptians are perhaps best known for their beliefs about the afterlife. The process of mummification ensured that their bodies would be fit for purpose in the next world. Thousands of years later, their elaborate mummification practices continued to fascinate new generations. When news of a Persian mummy emerged, it became the focus of international attention. But the mysterious mummy held a secret that would shock the world. I'm Rowan Molyneux, and you're listening to Oddity, the podcast about all things strange and unexplained. On the 19th of October 2000, Pakistani authorities were alerted to a man attempting to sell a mummy on the black market. After questioning him, they found the mummy at a tribal leader's home. He told them that he had obtained the mummy from an Iranian man who had supposedly found it after an earthquake. It was offered for sale on the antiquities black market with a price tag of $11 million. The tribal leader and his middleman were accused of violating the country's Antiquities Act, and the mummy was taken to the National Museum in Karachi, where it was examined. It really was a thing of beauty. Wrapped in linen bandages, the mummified body lay in a gilded wooden coffin, elaborately decorated with cuneiform carvings and symbolism relating to Zoroastrianism and the Persian Empire. A resin-soaked cloth had formed a protective casing over the body, which bore a golden crown and mask, along with a golden chest plate. The inscription on the chest plate read, "I am the daughter of the great King Xerxes. Mazarika, protect me. I am Radugana, I am." At a press conference just 1 week after the mummy was discovered, it was announced that she seemed to be a 2,600-year-old Persian princess. This announcement sent ripples of excitement throughout the world, as the princess appeared to be mummified in a ritual manner believed until now to be unique to ancient Egypt. No Persian mummies had been found before, and this revelation could add a whole new aspect to our knowledge of ancient burial rites. The Egyptians had sent stonemasons and goldsmiths to the royal court of Xerxes, after all. Could they have also sent embalmers to preserve the princess after her death? The royal tombs in Persepolis had been raided centuries ago, and the bodies of the Persian royal family had never been recovered. This mummy could provide an invaluable insight into the funerary practices of Persian royalty. Almost instantly, diplomatic issues sprung up. Both Iran and Pakistan claimed ownership of the priceless find, and things started to get a bit tense. However, not everything was as it seemed. Experts in ancient cuneiform noticed something off about the inscription on the mummy's chest plate. The inscription had grammatical errors, used a Greek version of the daughter's name rather than the Persian version, and appeared to be carved by someone unfamiliar with the language. Then they discovered something even more damning. While examining the wooden coffin, they found lead pencil marks in the crevices of the ornate carvings. It looked like the decorations had been stenciled on before being carved into the wood. The fact that the so-called Persian princess appeared to be a fraud was a harsh blow. Experts working on the mummy began to suspect that she was a somewhat more ordinary ancient Egyptian mummy, presented as a Persian rarity in order to command a higher price on the black market. But things were about to get a whole lot worse. X-rays and CAT scans revealed discrepancies in the mummification process. Although the internal organs of ancient Egyptian mummies were removed, the heart normally would be left inside the body, as the heart was seen as the centre of intelligence and emotion, and would be required in order to navigate the afterlife. The Persian mummy's heart was missing. There were other irregularities. In order to remove the brain, the ancient Egyptians would carefully break through the ethmoid bone in order to access the cranium. It was a neat and precise surgical process. The Persian mummy had the ethmoid bone intact, but several other bones clumsily broken. Hardly the mark of an expert embalmer. The abdominal incision was also unusually large and oddly placed. In a chilling turn of events, further examination found that the tendons which hold delicate ear bones together and should have decayed over the centuries were still intact. And the reed mat below the body was found to be only 5 years old. Scans revealed that the mummy was of a young, short woman, probably between 21 to 25 years of age, and only 4'7". Carbon dating determines that, far from being mummified around 600 BC, she had actually died in 1996. Her back was broken, showing evidence of a violent blow to the lower spine. Her neck had also been broken, but the autopsy was unable to determine whether it had occurred due to an accident or deliberately. All of a sudden, an archaeological bombshell had turned into a potential murder investigation. Investigators believe that whoever made the mummy is likely to have paid grave robbers to obtain a freshly buried body. But the broken neck was enough evidence for Pakistani police to begin an investigation into the possible murder. The timing in obtaining the body would have been critical. Bodies begin to decompose quickly in hot countries, so it would have had to be mummified within 24 hours of death occurring. This was not an impromptu decision. The drying chemicals, resins, and bandages would have been sourced beforehand, ready to be used as soon as a body could be obtained. The woman's teeth had been removed after death, perhaps to prevent identification, and her skin and hair had been bleached. After removing her internal organs, they filled her abdomen with modern ingredients, like bicarbonate of soda and table salt. For a fraud this intricate, many different talents would have been required. A knowledge of ancient history, a grasp of anatomy, experience in stonemasonry and goldsmithery, a knowledge of ancient cuneiform text. This was not a one-person job. The Persian princess is not the first mummy forgery. In 1928, in Hackensack, New Jersey, the much-loved mummy of an Egyptian princess was examined by the curator of the public library and found to be a fake, filled with nothing but rags. In 1969, a medical student with an interest in archaeology requested that he be allowed to examine the human remains at the Mississippi Department of Archives and History, in order to assess them for evidence of disease. He was given permission to work on one of their prized pieces, an Egyptian mummy which they obtained in the 1920s from a private collection. Radiological examination revealed that it contained a wooden frame, several nails, and a few animal ribs. In the end, it turned out to be mainly made of papier-mâché. And in 2015, two mummies from the Vatican's collection of antiquities were also found to be fakes. The small mummies were thought to contain the bodies of ancient Egyptian children or animals, but after a thorough analysis, were found to contain various adult bones from the Middle Ages, plus a single nail from the 19th century. The resin painted over the bandages also dated back to 19th century Europe. The only parts of the mummies that actually dated back to ancient Egypt? The bandages themselves, now soaked in 19th century resin. 8 years after the so-called Persian princess came to light, she was buried by a charitable organisation. But who she was, and how she died, remains a mystery. The police investigation has not reached any conclusions. In 2001, two more so-called Persian mummies were said to be available on the black market, although they were never recovered. Since then, however, no more have emerged. The media attention seems to have put off the group making these elaborate forgeries. The mummy factory has stopped production. But for how long? The fact remains that there are three empty graves somewhere in the region. As horrible as that sounds, it's the best case scenario. The worst case, and a real possibility, is that there are three people who, one day, never came home. Thank you for listening to Oddity. If you have any suggestions for topics you'd like to hear discussed, you can get in touch at Oddity Podcast on Twitter. Join me, Rowan Molyneux, next time for another journey into the strange and unexplained.